Today is Low Sunday, and here are the announcements. We will have blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail, and there will not be benediction this evening. Tomorrow is a very great feast. It is the feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because this year it fell during Holy Week. The Church moves it, transfers it to the Monday after Low Sunday, so that will be tomorrow. And there'll be a solemn Mass at 9 o'clock, and then benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Then Tuesday, the Mass will be at 8:30, followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall, so that is moved to Tuesday. So Mass on Monday, tomorrow is 9 a.m., and then Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. Also, Tuesday is the feast of St. Vincent Ferrer. We won't go into details about his life, but he was one of the key figures in the Church 800 to 900 years ago, when it was in very dire circumstances, not as bad as today, but there were, during his time, very great confusion and controversy at who was the Pope. Even saints were confused as to know who was the Pope at the time because of all the politics and rivalry going on. But also he was a great preacher, and he was known to not only be a great miracle worker, but also spoke about the end of time. And just like in the Old Testament, there are references to this about prophets saying something, and this happened to him also, because God has put all of us on this earth, and at certain times he raises up people. Usually they're men, and usually they're priests and saints, but sometimes there are great saints like Saint Catherine of Siena, who was very influential in having the Pope go back to Rome where he belonged, because people respected her holiness and her insight, and she was inspired by God to do this. But the point is, God has a time when he's going to come, and it'll be the end of the world. But as has been indicated, it sometimes is dependent on what people on earth do in terms of responding to his graces, his inspirations. And we don't know when that will be, but St. Vincent Ferrer thought it was going to be at his time. And apparently it was averted. Finally, the last announcement is we want to just thank you once again for those who donated for the lilies for the altars. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. John's first epistle. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ, not in the water only, but in the water and in the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. And he who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This Sunday, as you have heard for many years, those of you who have been coming that long, and then for the newcomers, it's good to hear this instruction. It is called Low Sunday, and even though it's first class, it's called that because in comparison to the great feast of the Resurrection of our Lord a week ago, this Sunday is lower in terms of solemnity. And so it is a, maybe so to speak, a withheld joy, one that is somewhat reduced because as humans, we can only rejoice in a great way for only so long. And so the Church, Holy Mother Church, adapts to our human condition and the way human beings act and think and speak. Some years ago when we preached on this day, we told you that it used to be many, many centuries ago that Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, the Easter Vigil, and then Easter Sunday, and then the whole octave of Easter, and then this Sunday, they were all holy days of obligation. So everybody, every faithful Catholic was bound to go to church on these days because of the great doctrine of the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I can, at least for me, but I always have the sense that all of us are sort of recovering from the high, but also the intensity of Lent and then Holy Week and all the beautiful ceremonies that we attended a week ago. And so, in a way, it's sort of a letdown. But Holy Week, Easter, is meant to prepare us for heaven. It's meant to prepare us for the upcoming weeks and years so that we are greatly sanctified and prepared to be once again getting on the correct path to heaven. Now, some of you are able to assist at Mass during the week. And if we notice, Holy Mother, the Church, has stational churches, which we can't go into today in terms of detail. But if you notice, many of the readings, the epistles, are from the book that St. Peter wrote. And a lot of the readings of the Gospel are the story of St. Mary Magdalene. What happened to her right after the resurrection. Now, what do these two people have in common? They were both great sinners. Remember when our Lord first called the apostles and St. Peter, impetuous, he comes up and he realizes how good, how holy our Lord is, but it's the first time you've met him. And he says, "Depart from me because I am a sinful man." Now, we don't know what that sin was. Was it venial sins, mortal sins? We don't know. But he felt unworthy to be in the presence of our Lord. And he didn't yet believe that he was the Son of God, though there was a reputation that our Lord was divine. But St. Peter had this inner sense. And look at St. Mary Magdalene. The woman possessed of seven devils and a prostitute. But both of these figures, in a way, they are examples for all of us. And just like our Lord, the Church does the same thing, emphasizes and focuses on these two people to show the great, infinite mercy of Jesus Christ that was extended to these two people as examples for the countless Catholics and non-Catholics for the next 2,000 years. And he forgives them. Just like our Lord forgives us. But after there's forgiveness and mercy extended, and these people, these two are sanctified, and we are sanctified by all the penances and confessions and sacraments that we receive during Lent and Holy Week, now, as they did, we have work to do. We have to follow up on what we've just received, all the beautiful gifts we've received. And so with our Lord appearing to St. Mary Magdalene, she was so overjoyed when he revealed himself to her in the garden. He says, "Noli me tangere, do not touch me," because she was very emotional, most likely on the ground, hugging his legs or his feet. That's the context. And he wanted her, go to my disciples, tell them that I've risen from the dead. That's the context, and that's the summary of what her mission was. The great sinner and a woman was telling the apostles the greatest revelation ever, that the Son of God has risen from the dead. And then here you have this account. It's read on this Sunday, but it's what happened on Easter Sunday evening when our Lord, as it says, the room was shut and closed. But because he had a glorified body, he could pass through material substances. So he appears through the room, through the wall, appears there, just as all of us, God willing, when we have our glorified bodies, we can do the same thing. And he did not have a stern look on his face. But he says, Pax Vobis, peace be to you. What unbelievable love and patience our Lord had for them and has for us. Because he rightly could have been very upset and angry because all of them were losers for a while. First of all, Judas, one of the 12, betrayed him publicly and then committed suicide. Then St. Peter, the head of the apostles, supposed to be the leader, the first pope, he denied our Lord 3 times publicly in front of everyone when our Lord needed him the most. And then all the other apostles ran away and left our Lord, as we say, left him hanging out to dry, just with his enemies. And only St. John returned and was at the foot of the cross when our Lord died. But here our Lord comes to the 11 and gives them the great gift of the sacrament of penance. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. So you quote that scripture line to your anti-Catholic, non-Catholic, Protestant, or pagan friends if they start attacking the sacrament of penance. The apostles knew what our Lord meant, and Christians for 2,000 years knew exactly what our Lord meant. And then he says, he blows on them. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. So he uses the physical bodily expression of expelling air from our mouths, blowing, just like the priest did at the Easter Vigil in the baptismal water. Just as the Holy Spirit used wind when he came on Pentecost Sunday. Fresh air gives life. And he does not show anger, but he shows mercy, and he wants them to follow up now, as we're supposed to do. So, every hour, every day, and every year for the rest of our lives, we have to take what we've received from God seriously. These are beautiful gifts we've all been given for Lent and Holy Week. Denied to virtue the whole human race. There was a woman some years ago that one of the priests here was instructing. In fact, I was the one doing it. She didn't know anything about the Catholic faith. And she'd never been baptized. So I told her, you can choose a name if you wish, because you've never been baptized. A name different from your legal name. You know what she did? She said, and she was happy about it. She says, Father, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to choose as my name Mary Magdalene, because I'm a great sinner. And that was a very moving thing. And I pray for her every day, as we pray for all of you and all the converts here. Sometimes people lose their way, and that's what happened to this person. So, she's not here right now. But I pray for her, and I'd like you to do the same. Now, the last thing we'll tell you is this. The beautiful, just briefly, beautiful story, account of what happened to St. Thomas, the Apostle. For whatever circumstance, he was not there on Easter Sunday night. And you know what? I can kind of relate to that. Ever since I have assisted at the Latin Mass, but when there are ceremonies going on here or sermons, you know, that's because this is the center of our lives. But whether as a seminarian or as a priest, I like to hear the sermons and the talks and the conferences. And I remember some time ago I was ill. I think it was last year sometime. And we had benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And I just was too sick. So I was in the back of the chapel. And right as the organ was playing, when the priest was leaving with the servers, I left because I just had to go. I had to rest. It was a Sunday evening. Well, when we had our evening snack, I come and everybody's talking about the talk that Father gave on the rosary. Boy, was I upset. I really was upset because I missed out. I hate missing out on important things like that. And I think that's what happened to St. Thomas. So the apostle said, the Lord was here. And he didn't believe it. And he was inspired by God to say, unless I put my finger into the wounds of his hands and put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe you. Now, how would he know to say that? How would he even think that our Lord would appear, would have those wounds when he would rise from the dead? Of course, God knew what he was doing. So St. Thomas had to wait a whole nother week. So it was on this day, Low Sunday, that our Lord appeared once again to the 12 or the 11. And he says, peace be to you. And then he goes right to Thomas and tells him, okay, you wanted to have testimony? Here I am. Take your finger and put it into my hand, into the wound. And it wasn't, I always thought it was touching. You know, but as our Father Superior said years ago, and I learned, it's into. He actually put his finger and his hand into his side because there was a gaping hole that our Lord wanted to have exposed for all time to prove in another way, very graphic way, I am the Son of God. I died for you out of love for you. I died for your sins, and I'm keeping that wound for all eternity. So St. Thomas does this. He falls down and he says, my Lord and my God. And we have that beautiful prayer aspiration that we say at the elevation of the host and the chalice, the consecrations, chalice of the precious blood. We say those words and we get a 7 years indulgence. Thanks to St. Thomas. So you see how God takes the sins of people and the mistakes and the doubts and the blunders and turns them around and makes it better than it was. That's what he does. He did it for St. Peter. He did it for St. Mary Magdalene. He did it for St. Thomas. He does it for each of us. But the one thing he doesn't want, and we all have to guard against it, is being lukewarm and indifferent. Don't ever let those vices enter into your soul. If you see that it's happening, get it on your knees and pray to your guardian angel to rip that out. Because as our Lord said, if a person is hot or cold, in other words, if they're on fire with divine love, or they're cold, they're a great sinner, there's hope for them, and they can be saved. But the lukewarm, he uses the expression of vomiting that person out of his mouth. He's disgusted with the indifferent and the lukewarm because they know better, and they just treat our Lord with contempt, and they don't care. So that has to be rooted out. We all have to do that. So as we've said in the last few sermons we've given, and as I was doing this morning, just say thank you, God. Thank you for all of these beautiful gifts of Paschaltide, of Easter, these sacramentals. And help me not to waste them. Help me to be, on this day at least, have the faith just like St. Thomas, to say, my Lord and my God. May God bless you.